it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Taking the Mickey. We've christened this the EFL Cup Final Edition. If you're a Liverpool fan tuning into this, well, congratulations. If you're a Chelsea fan, commiserations. John Obi Mikel, we're doing this from afar. We are taking the technological world by storm. We're actually on Zoom because I'm here in Dubai. Where are you at the moment, John?
I'm in Qatar, Doha, for the Web Summit, which has been held here in Qatar, Doha. So, you know, I'll be here. I'm here now, so I'll be speaking tomorrow, talking about, you know, the pod and other stuff. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, my career stagnates. You're on the up and up, pal. You're going to be leaving me soon. You're becoming a darling of the media world. You're getting paid the big bucks to be in Qatar, for goodness sake.
Well, it's all for the pod, mate. It's all for the pod. Yeah, we just have to keep, obviously, doing what we're doing, you know, doing an amazing job. So we just have to keep
plugging
it. And yeah, it's going really well.
It is. It certainly is. And again, just to echo what you're saying there, John, we should say a massive thank you to each and every one of you, whether you've watched us on YouTube, whether you've downloaded the pod. We love the support. Yeah. We love the fact that you're doing that, and it means that we're doing something right. So we mean that sincerely.
Exactly. The pod has been absolutely amazing.
It's been awesome.
People here, I mean, everybody I've met, they kind of forgot that I actually played football. You know, I actually did something more than just the pod.
I love it.
That made me famous.
Yeah, exactly.
So everybody that I meet, they're like, oh my God, we fucking love the pod. It's been absolutely amazing. I mean, what an amazing job you and Chris are doing. I mean, it's been absolutely amazing. And you know, and you meet people, you think, how in the hell are you guys listening? Like, everybody is like, wow, the pod has been absolutely amazing. So yeah. It means we're doing really something really, really good. And long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Hear, hear to that. Now, listen, we're not here to talk about Web Summits. We're not here to pat ourselves on the back. We've got to do it. We've got to get back to Sunday's EFL Cup final. You were there, John. You were at Wembley. I think you were wearing Chelsea colours, were you not? Tell us more what you're up to.
Well, yeah, I was there. Obviously, I was there for, you know, I was invited by the club to, you know, to go out there and cover the game and do a bit of, you know, media work, TV for the club, which is something that I've, you know, been really looking forward to. I've been really wanted to do, and the opportunity came up, and I jumped on it straight away. I went out there and I did the media work for the club, for the TV, Chelsea TV, together with Joe Cole, which was fun. Obviously, we've had Joe on the pod, yeah. And somebody that I really know well, my ex-colleague, played together. And and we just covered the game. We went very deep into how we thought that the team could play and during the start of the game and the halftime, what we need to improve, how we need to get better. And yeah, we covered all angles.
Joe, he's still talking to you after the pod. He enjoyed his appearance?
Oh, he enjoyed it really, really well. I mean, he, you know, he's jumping into bits to know when next season is going to kick off. If he's going to have season two, episode two with Joe. So hopefully we can, you know, we can be able to do that, whether in Dubai or in London. We'll make sure that happens.
This is Mikel Obi, former Super Eagles and Chelsea midfielder, urging you all to sign up with BetWinner. BetWinner is a platform that offers sports betting, casino and games. Also, you stand a chance in getting up to 200% bonus on registration. Remember to bet responsibly.
Right, well, we've got to get into the game. That's what Chelsea fans and other fans of Fury are tuning in for. They want to hear your thoughts on what we witnessed on Sunday. I've got my own thoughts on it, but then no one cares what I think. They're all here to listen to you. You've had a couple of days. We're recording this podcast for purposes of being frank and transparent on Tuesday evening. So you've had about 48 hours, John, to let it sink in. And be honest with me, my man, is it a feeling of disappointment? Are you pissed off? How are you feeling 48 hours on?
I think straight after the game, of course, you know, as all Chelsea fans, as all Chelsea lovers will say, you know, I was pretty pissed off. I was pretty angry. I was pretty sad the way the game went. You know, I think the team has done really well to get to this position, which is exactly the position where we've always been. You know, Chelsea Football Club is always known for winning games, to being in this sort of finals, competing to win trophies such as this, such as the EFL Cup. So we, I think, regardless of the season that we're having, but I think the team, you know, the lads have done really well to get to this position. And I just thought, okay, this is what is going to change the season. This is going to be something that if we could be able to win it, could breed confidence into the team and get the team to go on a massive run of winning games before the end of the season. And then we can see how high we finish. But unfortunately, we couldn't do that. We didn't do that. I thought the game was pretty balanced. You know, we started, obviously, Liverpool started really well. They started really well in the first half, ended the first half really well as well, very strong. And then we came back in the second half, and then the game became a bit more kind of balanced. And, you know, we started a little bit more to get hold of the game, to create chances. But, of course, Liverpool were always there. You could feel like, you know, they're the ones who have a bit of edge to go on and win the game. And, of course, the Van Dijk first goal was disallowed, and then he managed to score the winner. So I thought we could have done more. I think we let them have way more, too much of the ball, which is something that, you know, we didn't do. We couldn't get hold of the game.
Yeah.
But as the game goes on, we started creating a little bit of chances here and there, but not very clinical as well. I think looking back at the game overall, I thought Liverpool were a better side, and I think they deserve to win the game.
Liverpool the better side, that will hurt. Listen, there's been an awful lot said and written in the aftermath, John. You know, again, well-documented comments from a certain Gary Neville. He has labelled this Chelsea side, you know where I'm going with this, billion-pound bottle jobs. Mauricio came out in defence, said it was a little bit harsh. I mean, is that harsh? Or when you look at the game, you know, £1 billion has been splashed out on this squad, putting this squad together. I, for one, still think it's a bit imbalanced, truthfully, John. But billion-pound bottle jobs, yay or nay to that?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. I think some point, you know, you look at it in a different way and you look at, of course, we spent £1 billion, more than £1 billion. And when you look at it that way of, is he right, is he not right? But it depends on how you look at the whole situation, the whole game. I thought, I mean, Mauricio came out and defend his team to say, you know, his team is also young. But then when you look at the Liverpool team that finished the game, you know, I think we played against their youth team for over, I'll say, 15 minutes or something like that during the game. So when I look back at it, I thought we should have capitalized on that. Despite the fact that Saleh, Nunes and all these guys, Trent, didn't start the game. That was, as well, the first advantage. But then during the game, when you see the big names coming out of the game, McAllister and the rest of them leaving the game, and then the kids coming on, I thought that's where we could have gone to ourselves and say, okay, now we have to win this game because we're literally playing against the Liverpool youth team that don't have that much experience. Yeah. Yes, coach can say the Chelsea team were also a young team, but they're more experienced young team. They cost 180 million or more than that. So they're more experienced young team. Fernandez has won the World Cup. Caicedo is an established Premier League player who's played for Brighton. So there's so much, you know, you call Palmer as well. There's so much more you can say about him, Sterling. There's so much you can say that the young team, but we have more experience in that team than the Liverpool team that finished the game. So I think that's where we should have capitalized on that. to go on and do more and push on and be more aggressive, you know, to win the game. Of course, Gary Neville has his say, but I wouldn't call them bottle, whatever he called them.
Bottle,
but I'll just say I'm disappointed that we didn't do more when we played against the youth team of Liverpool, because there were so much inexperienced players, inexperienced players that came on for Liverpool. So, and in that big stage, that's where our young, established, experienced player should have capitalised on that and go on to win the game very easily.
I thought it was interesting, John. I don't know if you saw these images. At the full-time whistle, Mauricio Pochettino, the camera panned to the Chelsea boss. He looked absolutely broken. So he did, John. You know, the face told the story of, you know, a million words, for goodness sake. And again, I'm seeing a lot of Chelsea fans on social media. I'm seeing a lot of, you know, listeners and viewers of our podcast saying enough is enough, that Poch just simply isn't, dare I say this, Chelsea standard. And you know what I mean by that? You acutely know what I mean by that. It's a manager who comes in and wins trophies. You have been a fan of him. You've backed him. You've said, come on, though. After the Everton defeat, you said, now, I like him, but he's got to start getting things right. They've lost their biggest game of the season to, in your words, Liverpool's youth team at the end. Where next for Poch, John? And be honest with me, does he survive the summer, in your opinion?
I've always defended Poch. I've always defended the team. I've always said from the start of the season, it's a young team. It's a team that needs to start to gel together and play together. They need to understand each other, you know. And I thought a few games back, there's been a little bit of, you know, good performances here and there, but not consistent enough to be able to challenge for trophies or to get to the top four. But like you said, I think this was our biggest game of the season. Definitely was our biggest game of the season. This would have crowned the season as a little bit of a success. But now that we haven't, now that we didn't win that trophy, we'll see where we finish. But yeah, like you said, I've always defended Mauricio. Will he get the time that he deserves? I don't know. I hope he does. But like you've said, or like we all know, I mean, Chelsea has always been a team, a club. We always win games. We always win trophies. There is no time of, okay, we've had time. We've given the team time. We've given him time. You know, he's tried to establish his philosophy the way he wants the team to play, the way he wants the team to for us to see the team on the pitch. Will he get as much time? Will he get more time? I hope so, but it depends on the owners. It depends on what they decide.
It's interesting.
Of course, the club is a club that if you don't win games, you're out of the door. That has been the way the club has operated.
Yeah.
And that's why we were so lucky. We were so successful. We won games by that. If a manager's not winning, he's out of the door. Another manager comes in, the team reacts, and then we go on and win one or two trophies a season. So I really don't know what's going to happen. I hope he gets as much time. But it depends on the new owners. I know definitely if it was Roman,
he's gone.
It would have been a different story by now, for sure.
He would have been gone already. Let's be honest about it. So to be clear, John, you are saying Chelsea fans out there who are grumbling, give him another summer, back him again, give him another season.
I'll say definitely let's wait until the end of the season and see where we finish. And then the owners decide. I mean, if they decide, okay, we gave you a whole season and we didn't get into Europe, maybe in the Europa League or whatever, and then they will decide and they'll make a decision. But I think give him until the end of the season and see where we finish. And if they feel that where we finish at the end of the season is not good enough, despite the whole investment that they've made, then they can make a decision. Or they'll make a decision and say, let's give him the summer. Let's give him start of next season and see how the team starts, how the team reacts to from the disappointment of this season.
Yeah.
I've defended Poch so many times. But as a Chelsea true and true, as a Chelsea fan, I want to see us back to winning ways.
Simple.
I want to see us winning games, winning trophies. And this was the massive game that we lost.
Yeah.
We should have won that trophy. It should have been Chelsea that lifted that trophy because of the starting lineup as well. No Salah, no Nunes, no Trent. no Alisson. Yeah. Like big name players for, missing for Liverpool. And everyone was saying, this is our game to lose. We should win this game. Everybody you spoke to before the game. And then come into the game and after 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and then the young players, the youth team of Liverpool start coming into the game with no experience. We should have capitalized on that. The young, established, experienced players from Chelsea should have gone out, get that game, you know, get hold of that game and make sure we win that game. And we couldn't do it. And that's where I will say that's where Gary Neville is coming from. And you can see the reaction from Klopp as well at the end of the game, how excited and how proud he was.
Yeah.
The Liverpool youth team actually did win him that trophy.
Yeah, I want to talk about one man, and I'm not in the game of pointing fingers per se, and I just want to be clear on this, Paul, that I'm not pointing fingers at this fella, but I find him curious. It's the curious case of Raheem Sterling, John. I'm looking at Raheem, and he's a shadow of the player that he was certainly a couple of seasons ago at City when he burst on the scene under Brendan Rodgers at Liverpool. And someone pointed out to me the other day that, you know, Raheem's been playing football regularly since 17. And you go through history, there's been a lot of players who have petered out, if you will, when they hit early 30s because they've just played so much football. But God almighty, John, Raheem Sterling is a shadow of the player that I think of him as someone low centre of gravity, can drift past a player, willing to take a player on. He's just a million miles away from that at the moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think he's miles off it, to be honest. At this point, I think he's not the player that we saw at Manchester City, or player, you know, that we were accustomed to used to watch and enjoy the way he played. Low sense of gravity, like you said, play a little bit of like hazard, you know, he can go past people very easily, very fast, very quick, technically good on the ball. But I actually think, I mean, not to his defense, I think he actually started the season really well, I'd probably say. And he just went, I think what I'm saying is that I think he started the season really well. He was playing well. He was creating chances. He was taking people on. It became like the Raheem Sterling that we know from before. But then I think he did all that because he wanted to get into the England team. But then I think the first call-up that came during the start of the season, his name wasn't there. He wasn't called up.
No.
I think that took a knock to his confidence, I'll probably say. And after that, he's just went. His head just went. Probably he's just thought, okay, I've put on so much effort from pre-season and all that, hoping that I'll get back into the England setup. And then the list came up. I wasn't there. I think that took a massive knock on his confidence. And since then, I haven't seen the Raheem Sterling that started the season. He's been a shadow of himself, like you say. But I think he still has a lot to offer. Is it at Chelsea or is it somewhere else? That we have to decide come at the end of the season. But, I mean, yeah, he's definitely miles off it. I think he knows that. How does he get back to that level? Only he can decide. I mean, he just has to keep working hard. And I think he's a player also that coach really likes. I like him. I like Raheem. I think he started the season well. But right now, he's just not doing it.
No, he's not.
It's a shadow of himself, definitely.
You know, the other thing that I look at when I look at this Chelsea team, John, I'm looking at it now, the starting 11 and the boys on the bench. Who's giving a rocket to the other players? So, you know, doing this podcast with yourself and listening to the JTs, etc., there's not one what I would call, you know, de facto leader. I'm looking at these, some great footballers. You know, I'm a huge fan of Casado. I think he will come good. Enzo, I'm being told from people who have worked with him, you know, when I'm going with this, that he is top drawer is Enzo. Cole Palmer's proving himself. Gusto, I thought, was wonderful. I think there's a real talent there. Obviously, you know, my thoughts on Gusto. Yeah, you like him too. Levi Colwell. Where the fuck is the leaders, though?
I think that's one of the things that, you know, me and Joe was talking about as well while we were watching the game at the box. We looked at the game. When we looked at him, we were like, where are the leaders? I don't see anyone speaking to any. I don't see any of them trying to speak to the other player to say, listen, this is what you have to do. You have to wake up, or you have to run, or you have to defend that, or you have to do this. I don't see anyone doing that. These are the games that where we come, at the crucial stages of, you know, of the season or the final or whatever, this is where you see leaders. This is where you see the JT, the Drogbas, you know, the Lampards, the Ashley Cole, the Petr Cech, the Essiens. They will grab you by the neck and tell you to wake the fuck up. This is not a game where you play around. The regional leaders, when you look at that team, the regional leaders, no. Yes, Enzo's won the, you know, he's won the World Cup. But again, when you talk about this thing, is it a player that will scream at the likes of Raheem Sterling or Caicedo or other players and they will listen? I don't think he is.
No.
We need leaders. Thiago Silva, I thought, was one of those, but he wasn't at the game. So I looked around. Me and Joe looked around. You know, we're like, there is no one. There is no one that will grab someone by the neck and say, wake the fuck up. It's a fucking final. The biggest game of our season. There is no other chance to win a trophy this season. This is it. This is our last chance of redeeming ourselves, so to say, by winning a trophy. You know what I mean? And there was no leader there. I saw Poch screaming on the touchline, but looking inside the pitch, there was no one that was screaming at each other when you're doing something wrong. And that's something we lack. We need leaders in the team. As much as the team is young, we want young players, we need a couple of senior, experienced players that could lead the team when we come to games like this.
You know, moving the kind of focus away from Chelsea for a moment, Jurgen Klopp, John, I know we've spoken about him and, you know, you talked about there's a manager that you would have loved to have played under a bit. You know, you've talked about Ange Postecoglou. Pep, I know, is a hero of yours. You love Pep like everyone else and what he's done at City. Yeah. But for Jurgen Klopp to foster this mentality, those young boys being thrown in, they know their jobs, they're willing to run through brick walls for them. Yeah. You know, you've got to commend Liverpool, because, yeah, they rode their luck at times, but as you've said, they were the better team over the 120 minutes.
They were. I mean, massive praise, you know, for Jurgen. I'm a massive fan of Jurgen. I've always said he's probably one of the managers I would have loved to play under, the passion that he brings to the game. Those young boys came into those youth players. I wouldn't call them young. They were youth team players. They came into that game willing to run through the wall, brick wall for you know, for Jurgen. And it would be sad for him for us to lose him in the Premier League. I mean, it would be a massive loss for the Premier League, because I think it just brings the passion to the game. And what he has done again this season for Liverpool, and now, you know, they're still competing to win the Premier League, the Europa League. I mean, he can go, you know, with a bang. I mean, what an absolutely fantastic, fantastic manager he is. Like you said, take nothing away from Liverpool. They were absolutely fantastic on Sunday. I loved watching them. I thought Van Dijk was fantastic. Yeah. He led the team. It was a brick wall that day. He led the team superbly. And also, I think this is probably the first time that I saw I think young Bradley was really good as well.
Connor
he was
Bradley.
In between the lines and just trying to get the ball and creating chances, causing problems for us. And that's something I spoke about, you know, in the first half, after the first half. I said the young Bradley leaves the right back, drifts into the midfield behind Caicedo and Enzo and gets the ball. And, of course, we know the rest. So I thought that was something we could have looked at and tried to correct. But, yeah, take nothing away from Liverpool. Absolutely fantastic, and credit to Jurgen Klopp.
Tell you what, John, if Poch does get a stay of execution and is in that job in the summer, you got to start phoning up your pals, my friend Victor Boniface, Victor Osimhen. You've got to do your agency work. They need a helping hand if Chelsea are going to come back next season. It's going to be fascinating to see. And, you know, again, I respect your opinion. You're backing Poch. Some Chelsea fans are, but as you know, John, when the heat gets turned up, ultimately fan power will win the day. And yes, Poch needs some results, otherwise I've got a funny feeling, John. I mean, I've got no skin in the game here, but I'm very sceptical as to whether Poch will be manager of Chelsea next season. They've got to finish this season strongly, no doubt about it.
They've got to they have to go on a run now. They have to go on a run of winning games. I don't think there's an excuse from now on. They have to go on a run of winning games, and if he doesn't, I think he'll be out of the draw come the end of the season.
I know you've got various functions to be going to this evening, so boss man, thank you so much. Of course, a reminder, Petr Cech, that is episode 12 of the Obi-Wan podcast, made possible by Betwinner. That is out on Monday the 4th of March. Do make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as our podcast on your usual platforms. Myself and the boss man will be back with you soon. For now, now, though, John. Stay safe in Qatar. And yeah, by the time we next catch up, maybe, just maybe, Chelsea have had something to smile about.
Let's hope so.
Top man. Cheers, Johnny boy.
Cheers, mate.
Sports Social Podcast Network.